The reading this morning is from 2 Kings in chapter 22. No, I'm sorry, not chapter 22. It's from the 2 Kings. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. And he said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and the supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in the book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter.
I know, there's 15 in total.
So we're continuing in the 22nd chapter. We're finishing in chapter 23, verse 3. Huldah, the prophet, she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and because you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place." And so they took her answer back to the king. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests, and the prophets, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. Then the king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart and with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, the Lord, my creator, my redeemer, and my sustainer. Amen. Amen. So I laugh as Carolyn was reading the scripture this morning. On Wednesday during Bible study, she said to me, I'm getting kind of tired of reading out of the books of Kings. There are so many names and so many people, and I can't keep track of who anyone is. And I was thinking that as we were reading the text this morning in the heat, and I feel hot, and Karen was complaining about the heat a minute ago as well, that even with the rain and the wind outside, that it's still warm, and so we're all a little sleepy. And so the 15 names that were read this morning, the 15 different people in this short chapter in the book of 2 Kings, I'm pretty sure most of us have forgotten most of the names in that book by now. And so, as always, I think simplifying that and helping us and saying, okay, we really only need to focus on three of them, and then we'll talk about the rest of the story later. There's the king, King Josiah, arguably the best king in the book of Kings, the only one of the kings who actually follows God and follows God's law, the king who finds the scroll and pledges himself, who creates a new covenant between the people and God. There's the king's secretary. His name is Shaphan. Shaphan the secretary, he's the one who goes to the temple and finds the scroll and then comes back. And then there's the prophetess Hilda, the only female prophetess found in the book of Kings, the only one who speaks on behalf of God. And it's these three people, along with the chief priest, the king's attendant, the king's secretary's son, one of the king's advisors, there's all these other names that we don't have to know specifically for that version of the story. And then on top of that, there's everyone's genealogy. Hilda, wife of someone, son of someone else, it gets a little old and a little confusing. And so we might just simplify it so that way we can actually hear the word of God today. And so the scripture begins, and really what the story of King Josiah is this morning, is that a scroll is found in the temple. A scroll is found in the temple, and somewhere it relates to how we operate as Methodists. It starts with King Josiah, the best king of all the kings in the books. A good king, a king who follows God from a very young age. A king who tells his secretary to go to the temple, because all the tithes in the temple, all the money in the temple needs to go to fixing the temple up. Now this seems timely because Larry and I, literally half an hour ago, were standing in this room talking about this church building. And unfortunately, this is not a really good fundraising sermon like possibly trustees would like it to be. Instead, we're talking about King Josiah because when the people tithe, when the people gave of their income, it was donated and put into the temple warehouses and put aside for use in the temple. And so one of Josiah's good things that he did, one of the things that made Josiah so good, is he sent his secretary to the chief priest and he said, pay the workers what they are due. Pay the workers to fix up the church, to fix up the temple. Put in new wood, put in new marble, clean everything up, pay the workers their due. Because previous kings, like Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather, one of the worst kings in the book of Kings, instead he took the money and he pocketed some of it. He built altars and temples to Baal. He built palaces for his own use. And instead of being a good king, he was an evil king. And so Josiah, this is what we begin this morning. This sets up what happens with Shaphan, the secretary. Josiah sends him to the temple, sends him to the chief priest. He says, go and pay the workers what they are due. We don't need an accounting of how much they are getting paid. They are trustworthy and good people. Pay them what they need. And so the secretary Shaphan, he goes to the temple. He talks to the chief priest, make sure that all the money is being distributed correctly. And then in verse 8, the chief priest comes up and says, I have found in the temple a book of law. I have found the book of Deuteronomy. I found the last sermon that Moses preached to the Israelites, a reminder of who God is and who God was and what God wants for us. And so the secretary reads the scroll, realizes this is what he is reading, realizes it's the book of Deuteronomy, and he has to bring this back to the king. So Shaphan goes back to the king, he reads the scroll of Deuteronomy, and the king tears his robes, he cries out, and he says, he says, go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, what is written. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. We have not acted in accordance with the words of this book. We have not followed what is written in this book. Israel has sinned, Josiah says. Sinned, he tears his royal robes apart in a sign of mourning. And so he sends out this delegation, this royal delegation of his chief priest, his secretary's son, his personal assistant, an advisor to himself. He sends out this royal group of five assistants, and he says, go out and find out what God is saying about us. Find out what God is going to do, because we have not read this book, because we have not followed its laws, because the book has been lost for all of these years. This is one of those times I stop for a second and I go, how do you lose a book of the Bible? How do you lose one of the five scrolls of Moses? Some scholarship says that as they were rebuilding the temple, that they knocked down a wall and there was the scroll. Some people, and I like the other interpretation, that the book of the scroll was hidden under all the gold in the treasury. And that previous kings, that sinful kings, were hiding this, were hiding away all their gold and were building it up for themselves. And it wasn't until they started paying it out that they found the scroll underneath all of this gold. Either way, no matter how you read it, what happens is Josiah reads this book and he says, this is a problem. This is a problem that we need to solve. And I'm feeling a little constricted this morning, so I'm going to start walking, even though Bev hates it when I walk around, because she thinks I'm going to trip over the microphone cable. So bear with me for a second. I think it's because of the weather. My head feels like I'm about to explode. So these five advisors to the king, they go to Hilda. They go to the prophet Hilda. And it's interesting because only the king, only the chief priest, and only the secretary have heard the words from Deuteronomy. So they go to Hilda and they ask her, they say, the king wants to know, what is God doing? The king wants to know, are we going to be destroyed for what's in this book? And Hilda already knows what's in the book. Hilda already knows what's in the book of Deuteronomy, and she says, yes. Yes, God is angry with you. God will destroy Israel. He will destroy Judah. The Assyrians and the Babylonians are coming. And he will destroy Israel for their sins. And then Hilda the prophetess says to them, but because the king heard these words, because the king tore his robes, because the king knows about the sin of his fathers, that the king will die before this happens. That Israel will fall, Jerusalem will fall, but that the king won't be around to see it. The king will be dead long before this happens.
And then if we read on, and if you read on in your bulletin insert this week, this is what happens. The king dies, and then two kings later, about 20 years later, Jerusalem falls to the Babylonians. The temple is destroyed 20 years later, long after Josiah dies. And then what's interesting
is after this happens, yeah, apparently I'm all over the place today. What happens is, but after this happens, Josiah calls all of Israel to him. They go to the temple of God, and there he stands by the pillar and he renews his covenant with God. He says, God, we will stand before you and we will worship you as good Israelites. We will be the people you want us to be. We will follow your laws and your rules. We will follow what is in this book of Deuteronomy. Which then I have to look at and ask, what is going on? And kind of, all of you are kind of giving me that face. Something's not making sense. Josiah's going to die. Hilda says, before Israel falls, you will die. And Josiah's response isn't to say, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. Josiah's response isn't to throw up his hands and plead defeat, to start a party or to say, okay, well, it's already going to happen. There's nothing else we can do. Instead, Josiah goes to the temple and he prays and he renews his covenant. He renews the promise for Israel and God, and he says that we will follow your laws. Even though the world is going to end, even though Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, even though I will be dead long before that happens, in the meantime, we will follow your laws. In the meantime, we will follow your ways. In the meantime, we will be people of God. New Year's is coming up. I can't believe I'm already skipping. I skipped Christmas. I'm skipping Advent entirely. Thanksgiving's on Thursday. I'm skipping that too. But New Year's is coming up before we know it. How many times, I'm 30 years old, so 15 times, I can't do that many. Like 10 times, 15 times. 15 times I have made New Year's resolutions. 15 times around New Year's Eve, I say, okay, this is it. This is the year I'm going to be better. This is the year I'm going to try. I'm going to call my mom every day. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat healthy. Whatever that New Year's resolution is, I've probably about 15 times now made resolutions. And yet, every year, by December 31st, I realize that all the promises I had made, I have fallen short of. Every year by December 31st, I'm coming up with new promises. I'm coming up with new resolutions. I'm coming up with new ways to try to be better. And so how many times have we done this on New Year's? Or to be more religious, how many times have we sat in church or we sat in home and we've prayed to God and we said, God, I will be better. God, I will try better. I will be better to my loved ones. I will be better to my coworkers. How many times have we apologized to those ones that we love, our friends and family, and said, I'm sorry for what I did. I will try to be better. This is what Josiah is doing. God is angry at Israel. God has spoken to the king through Hilda the prophet and said, God is angry with you. God will destroy this country. And yet Josiah stands up and says, we will be better. We will be better. We will remain faithful, not because we think we're going to avert destruction, not because we think it'll be okay, but because we know it's going to be a problem and that faithfulness has its own reward. That I need to live better even though the world around me is falling apart, that even though the temple will be destroyed, even though Israel will be scattered, that we need to be better. And so as we enter into the darkest time of the year, The 21st is the longest night of our year. As we spend these next 3 weeks where the days get shorter and shorter, the sun is farther and farther away from us. As our world gets plunged into darkness, over the next couple of weeks, our Bible readings are being plunged into darkness. Israel is scattered by the time we meet again next week. Our daily scripture readings on the blue bulletin insert, this is what we are reading. That Hilda's prophecy comes true, and that the people are scattered amongst the nations. And so we read along with them. We read along with them, and we are confronted by our own darkness. We are confronted by the fact that year after year, our resolutions have come up empty. Confronted that our promises to God and to each other have come up empty. And just like Israel, we enter into the dark time of the year. We enter into this time of Advent. But the story doesn't end there. The reason why Josiah was faithful, the reason why Israel does not turn their back on God, the reason why they look toward God even in the darkest point of their lives is because they know that God remains faithful. Even though we are entering into the dark period of the year, even though we are entering to the point where the sun is further and further from the earth than it has been all year, we know that summer will come again. We know that spring will come again. We know that new life is right around the corner. We have the big picture. We have the big story. We know that God remains faithful to his people, that God remembers his people. And so that's where we're headed. Yes, our resolutions every year have failed us. Yes, we keep coming back to God and we keep apologizing. Yes, we keep coming to God and we said, God, you know that thing that you told us not to do that we did? That we have done it again, and God, we are sorry. We can't stop doing it. And even in that low point, even in that dark period, even though we might fall, even though we might forget our promises or our resolutions, even though all of these things happen, even though we might forget God's commandments and his law and his book, even in the midst of destruction, that a country will be overrun by their enemies, we know that we won't give up because we always want to get better. Because we know that God wants us to be better, because we know that there is life coming over the hill. And so as we enter into the darkest time of the year, as we enter into this time with the Israelites, into their uncertainty, we have to remind ourselves that God does remain faithful. That God wants us to remain faithful to him, that the story doesn't end in the darkness, that the story doesn't end in destruction, that the story doesn't end in the darkest time of the year, that there is a morning coming next. That there is a new dawn, that there is a new branch bearing fruit, that there is the coming of a new king. The last king we'll ever know. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.